This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Christmas Eve, everybody, and welcome to this brand new spoiler review episode here on the Geek Bites, brought to you by the Geek Buddies on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am the Outlaw, John Rook, joined as always by these two wonderful gentlemen as we've been doing these reviews. Michael, take it away.
I am Michael Vogel. I'm a writer and producer of animated TV shows and movies.
And this is Shannon McClung. I'm a television actor and an animation writer. And even during the holidays, every weekend, you can see the third season of Strawberry Shortcake, Barry in the Big City on YouTube. And you can also see the holiday special that is up right now on Netflix that is called...
Strawberry Shortcake's Perfect Holiday.
That's it. Just wanted to make sure you were paying attention.
Any diehard references in that one? Gentlemen, any Die Hard references in that one? No, no.
Do I have any Die Hard? I don't think I got any Die Hard. I got a lot of other references in there, but no Die Hards.
Nice. Any Werner Herzog references? You want to go way out there? we got a lot to get into here for this particular spoiler review. First of all, we hope you all are having a wonderful Christmas Eve. And of course, if you are, you know, just however you're spending it, we hope you're enjoying the day. Maybe to you, this is just another Sunday, you know. So either way, we appreciate you hitting play on this or listening to us on the podcast feed. Remember, you can always subscribe to our podcast feed. If you want to listen to any of our episodes instead of watch our pretty faces, you can do that. This episode here, episode 3 of season 2, it's called What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas. This was directed by Brian Andrews, written by AC Bradley and Matthew Chauncey. And this is a wonderful, in my opinion, a wonderful slice of Christmas, a perfect yet another perfect MCU installment or entry into the Christmas universe here from the MCU, which I really liked. And it's an unusual episode because it is not what if someone made a different decision. This one feels like we're still in our normal MCU universe. It just feels like it's happening after Iron Man 2 and before Age of Ultron. So an interesting place to spot it here. Michael, what are your thoughts on this episode? Happy Hogan getting some Hulk blood, fighting off Justin Hammer in the Hulkbuster armor. Die Hard references for sure all over the place. Darcy's up in here as an intern. Maria Hill is up in here as well. The Avengers show up at the end, fight Happy. Happy, they realize Happy is actually a new Hulk, and they end up disarming Justin Hammer, and then Hulk saves, or I mean, what do you want? Hulk Hogan saves Justin Hammer at the end there, and all's well that ends well, and have a good night. So what do you think of this episode, brother man?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Nice little Christmas treat. Could have done with like 30% less Kat Dennings. But other than that, I thought it was a really, really cute one. Yeah, I mean, it technically counts as a what if. Like, it's what if Justin Hammer made a different decision than he made in the regular Marvel universe and made his play. Like, so It's in a multiverse, you're going to have some worlds and universes that are vastly different. And you're going to have some that are just slightly different. And that's the fun of the What If universe, is you can play with both. And so, yes, this one definitely is much more within a Marvel universe that we would know.
Yeah.
But it was great. I loved all the references. I loved basically Die Hard and Avengers Tower with Happy Hogan, with Hulk Hogan in the John McClane role. I loved Justin Hammer as our Alan Rickman. It was just kind of a blast throughout. It kind of, to your point about Age of Ultron, it definitely was... given like where it was placed in the Avengers Tower, when it was placed within the Marvel timeline, it definitely made me kind of want to go pop on Age of Ultron afterwards. It was like, oh yeah, these are good times. But yeah, definitely a lighter one than the Nebula one. Yeah. Probably not quite as blowing my socks off as the Peter Quill fighting Earth's Mightiest Heroes that we got yesterday. But as far as me waking up and wrapping Christmas presents and popping on a What If episode, it was kind of just right.
Shannon, your overall thoughts on this episode and the storyline that we got here with Hogan, who is, you know, initially Happy Hogan is again in this place where he feels underappreciated. You know, Maria is has the higher call sign in his mind. Darcy is interning with him, but of course he's trying to feel like he matters. And then this Hulk blood totally accidentally goes into his body. And now all of a sudden he becomes this thing and ends up saving the day and even gets a lot of love from Darcy near the end and Tony near the end for what he becomes. What do you think of this episode?
Super enjoyed it. Super enjoyed it. I don't disagree with Vogel in regard to Kat Dennings. I feel like Kat Dennings, Darcy, she's had one feature in Marvel where she's been pretty fun, and I feel like that was WandaVision. Every other Kat Dennings appearance is like, eh, okay. I'm not the biggest fan of that character. But it was interesting because at the beginning I was kind of like, oh, so this is just all our supporting players. I'm like, ah, okay. I mean, I do really like Jon Favreau. And then when Sam Rockwell showed up as Justin Hammer, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. And then it takes off. The moment that Justin Hammer talks about he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun and someone from the crowd says, you'll shoot your eye out. I was like, yes, fantastic. This is new required Christmas Eve viewing because I enjoyed this more than the Guardians Christmas special from last year. I thought this was just
wow.
Super funny. Yeah, I mean, I was not the biggest fan of that Guardian special. I was like, it needs to be way funnier. And I feel like that is what this one, it just checked off all the boxes. It was just super, super funny. And getting to revisit the most underutilized villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Justin Hammer and referring to himself in the third person as the Hammer.
The Hammer.
This is fantastic. I super enjoyed it.
Yeah, like the reference, like a third party, right? Like The Rock or something like that. You know, The Rock doesn't do this. The Rock doesn't do that. You know, that it was really funny to see that. I guess I'll have to be the odd bird out. I liked Kat Dennings. I think we got the perfect amount of Darcy in this episode. I actually didn't like as much of her in WandaVision as maybe you did, Shannon. I kind of was a little on the fence with some of those scenes with her and how smarter she was than everybody else. It got a little grating, but this I thought was the perfect amount. She's going back and forth with Happy. She makes the meta reference that she's the Reginald Bell Johnson to his John McClane in essence, or his Bruce Willis, which I thought was really funny. And the way she reacts to certain things as she's going through it and when she's trying to upload the new operating system and how she gets surprised by all this stuff. I thought it was funny, but I can hear if you guys didn't enjoy it. But really, it was Jon Favreau here who stood out that I thoroughly enjoyed. Loved the different tones. I mean, you forget, like we've said already for the last two or three days, like the idea of voiceover work from a on-camera actor, it's not always going to be quite where you need it to be or quite delivering the nuance. And I thought Favreau really nailed it from top to bottom all the way through this episode. I really, really enjoyed him. And I actually liked what Sam Rockwell did as well. You know, the way he was playing certain beats, certain moments when the Russian thugs, I mean, were great comic relief throughout this whole episode. And the way they were going back and forth. And then at the end there, just being like, wait, I pay you. No, I pay you for this. Not for this. And they're out of there. So those little changes I thought were really smart. And again, they don't do the legwork to explain to you what the Hulkbuster armor is. You've got to have seen all this stuff to understand what the Hulkbuster armor is and the back and forth. And then even making the references to the previous operating systems and the names of those, I thought that was really good. But overall, the feeling and the vibe of this one, it was nice to get Happy Hogan getting a little bit of feeling of appreciation by the end, because you start out with him feeling underappreciated, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Shannon, I'll go back to you, man. What'd you think of the Die Hard references, right? Because we had Happy taken to the air ducts to covertly sneak around the building, locate his target. We had him bungee jumping through the window, very similar to John McClane hanging off the fire hose there. Darcy, as I mentioned, saying she's the Reginald Bell Johnson to his John McClane. You put a villain in the elevator instead of ho, 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 it says let it snow. And then, of course, the Justin Hammer Justin Hammer coming out and speaking to the crowd of people just as Gruber did. And then at the end, falling out the window, slow motion, just as Alan Rickman did in Die Hard. So is the MCU, first of all, what do you think of references? And did the MCU now officially confirm Die Hard as a Christmas movie?
Yeah, yeah. I think the MCU confirms what a level-headed movie viewer already knew, that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. The only thing that I wanted was for that note to say, now I have Hulk blood. Ho, ho, ho. that was the only thing I wanted. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. I thought after the Reginald Vell Johnson and then seeing Happy and the Air Ducts, I'm like, all right, that's it. Like they'll find other Christmas movies to reference here. But no, they just kept going with Die Hard. I mean, we had the one little Christmas Story reference, but they just kept going with Die Hard. And again, it was just so much fun. And like getting to see what the other Avengers were doing at the time, even though it doesn't have a whole lot to do with Die Hard. Tony dressed up as Santa, an unhappy Santa, hilarious. They're finally confirming, because like in terms of the MCU, like we talk about the fact that Captain America is handsome a little bit.
Yeah.
But the soccer moms going after Cap. I mean, it was literally like listening to the audience on the opening night of Infinity War when Steve Rogers comes out of the shadows and he's got that fantastic beard grown, and you heard every woman just in unison, just, oh. So the fact that they are now acknowledging the fact that Chris Evans, Steve Rogers is just every woman's dream. Very funny.
Yeah, Micah, your thoughts on the Die Hard references, but also what Shannon's bringing up here, because you have Natasha at a Nutcracker performance here fighting off another assassin a la maybe Mission Impossible with Rebecca Ferguson at the opera there with Tom Cruise. Tony is being he's a bitter Santa, as he said there, with Steve Rogers fighting off the moms. But Bruce Banner and Clint Barton fighting over the final toy, kind of like Jingle All the Way. What do you think of all the sections here with the heroes and the Die Hard stuff? Did it work for you?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was great. I mean, you know, the thing that, from day one, and some people love this and some people don't love it as much, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe has always had sort of a level of humor to it. And it's, you know, it's a dial that you can move up and move down. If you're in an Ant-Man movie or a Guardians movie, you're going to turn that dial up. Yeah. If you're in a Captain America movie, you're in some of the other movies, you're going to turn that dial down, but it's always going to be there. There's always a little bit of humor, some fun tongue-in-cheek stuff. And even in what we've seen in the past 3 days, I mean, the Nebula episode definitely had some really fun episodes, fun moments with Howard the Duck. And you had your humor, but it was definitely dialed down to fit that noir style vibe. Yeah. Here, they just turned the dial up as far as they could, because this is a very low stakes adventure. Mm-hmm. This is just an excuse to get the gang together at Christmas. And Justin Hammer, even though he is perfect as the Hans Gruber of this episode, is not really worrying anybody on the villain meter. You know, he's a low level villain. So low level villain, high level comedy. And, you know, one of the most fun things about writing Christmas specials, having written a couple Christmas specials myself for My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake, and a couple other shows that I've worked on, is that you get to take your characters that you love and put them, figure out what they would be doing in the holiday that you love the most. So yeah, you know, Natasha Romanoff at the ballet, you know, during the Nutcracker, dealing with what she's doing, you know, each one of them doing their thing, just hilarious, perfect. And also just kind of the level of humor within the Avengers compound, like the fact that Happy ends up with a confetti arrow that Clint Barton has, or even when he jumps out of the building, like he's oddly in like the costuming area of Avengers Tower, where they've got like giant rolls of spandex and giant rolls of leather. And you're like, yeah, you know, I mean, they build a lot of costumes. I guess they do need someone to do that. So just all of the little kind of fun nods and winks that they did, I thought was a blast.
And Thor arriving late, just perfect. Of course,
and Thor arriving late,
right? It just makes so much sense in the world. You know, you mentioned Justin Hammer. I got to ask you, Michael, go back to you on this. What do you think about this, using Justin Hammer at this point? You know, we'd have, was it Ironheart coming? We have the Armor Wars coming. That Justin Hammer is supposed to be a big part of this back in the MCU. Do you think this was their kind of soft launch of Hammer, Justin Hammer back in the situation? You know, he's got, apparently he can fight, he's got martial arts skills now being in prison, and he seems to be, is this their way of kind of soft launching him back into people's minds here, because they know they're going to bring him back to be part of the MCU very soon?
It could be. It's not a bad way to sort of soft launch him back and remind us that Justin Hammer is around
and can dance.
And can dance. And I think, you know, to that point, it's one of the things when Marvel is doing things right, it's what they do well, which is, Iron Man 2, I think on most people's list of Marvel movies, is pretty low on the list. I think it is not the most beloved. But Marvel knows, again, when the Marvel that we like, when Marvel's working, they know that just because a movie didn't work doesn't mean that certain pieces of and certain characters can't be reused. And so, you know, Ben Kingsley getting used in Shang-Chi, like bringing Justin Hammer back, like these are great actors and these are great characters. Even seeing Annette Bening's Wendy Lawson in the episode yesterday. Right. I mean, I think she worked great. And Captain Marvel is not one of my favorite movies. So I think seeing him show back up and having him kind of cast in the role of Hans Gruber, a goofy, silly Hans Gruber, makes us realize, oh, this is a really fun character, and Sam Rockwell's great. So if this is the way of reminding us that he's around, teeing us up for Ironheart, Armor Wars, or wherever else they can fit him into the MCU moving down the road, I think they did a really nice job.
Yeah, what do you think of this, Shanna, them kind of soft relaunching Justin Hammer back into our minds here with the way he's... Because, I mean, he has that narrative, he has that one line that I think is really... a window into his approach possibly going forward in the MCU when he comes back is, you know, the idea between a villain and a hero is having a good PR narrative. If I get that Hulk blood, I can basically rewrite my own idea of who I am and let people kind of change their minds about me, essentially talking about how fickle people can be. So what do you think about how they introduced him in that line here, kind of mentioning possibly a little motivation for him going forward in the future MCU projects?
I really hope it's a soft launch because, you know, he popped up in the short, Hail to the King, Kingsley centric short. Right. And even in that little moment, it's like Sam Rockwell already is just such an entertaining performer. When he's doing drama, when he's doing comedy, he is magnetic and he knocks it out of the park every single time. I do think with the character Justin Hammer, like if they decide to use him in something else, and I think we've all heard the stories like he's supposed to be in Armor Wars. Yeah. I don't think he'll ever be your principal bad guy just because the way he's been established and the way that they use him, he's a bit of a buffoon.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the bad guy in Iron Man 2, I mean, really it's Whiplash. I mean, that's where your actual physical threat is, even though he was sort of bankrolled by Justin Hammer. Justin Hammer probably had ideas about how he would have been kind of the principal antagonist.
Yeah.
However he is portrayed, I do hope they use him again because again, he's just such it's hearkening back to that phase two time when everything is starting to click, even though he was in one of the movies that didn't click. Yeah. He's just so entertaining. And I think he would be a welcome re-addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, and something tells me that because he keeps coming back to reprise this role, even he probably feels that Iron Man 2 maybe wasn't the best film for him to be in, so he'd like another shot at getting this character across. Even though people do love the character still, he'd like to get more people on board with his character. Maybe there's more for him as an actor to kind of do with this character, and he feels unfinished by it, which I think is great because that means he really wants to bring the best he can into Justin Hammer, which I think will be interesting. Shannon, I'll go back to you on this. The Hulk blood thing is an interesting little subplot bubbling underneath, so to speak, here in this particular episode. Clearly, Tony loves to fuck with shit. He is messing with Hulk blood, testing it, maybe trying to cure Banner, but it seems like he's found a way to find the balance here. This feels like what Forever Formula is here is like the precursor to Smart Hulk because although he becomes a Hulk, he becomes a Purple Hulk, which does have comic book reference, which I'll mention in just a second. He can talk. Happy can communicate. Happy's on the phone. Happy can use technology. Like, it's not an issue here. And it does kind of tie into the MCU because in She-Hulk, it was revealed that Iron Man built Hulk's lab in Mexico to help him transform into Smart Hulk. So these could be experiments that they're maybe going to reference later on when things go forward with the MCU. Do you think this was just a fun little one-off, or do you think maybe this is something they're going to reference in future MCU projects? And did you like it in this episode?
I mean, in terms of this episode, I don't think they're going to reference this episode again. The idea of Hulk blood being used, I mean, we've seen it in She-Hulk. We're going to see it again with Red Hulk at some point.
Right.
So I do feel like this was probably just a fun one-off in terms of Happy having that Hulk blood. But I mean, again, you would look at the supporting cast of Captain America 4. I mean, it really looks like it's kind of a Hulk movie in disguise. So it will, again, it will be referenced. Probably not like this, though. I think that's going to be used for more nefarious means.
Yeah. What do you think of the Hulk blood storyline here in this, Michael? Were they just kind of getting us used to this? Because, yeah, as I mentioned and Shannon mentioned, they did make a She-Hulk reference to it. Do you think this is kind of showing a little more of Tony messing with stuff as well? What do you think of this?
I mean, I don't know that the Marvel Universe needs to get us used to Hulk blood doing stuff or Tony messing with stuff. So I don't know that this is them kind of teeing anything up. And again, since I don't think that this actually counts as being part of the MCU timeline,
right,
because it is a what if episode, I don't think it's something that they would mention down the road because it didn't happen in their universe. But but as far as the way it's used in this episode, I think it's super great and fun. I mean, it's an easy get. Justin Hammer wants Hulk blood, going to turn himself into a super strong, super smart guy. Happy gets it instead. Happy gets to Hulk out and save the day. Yeah. Super straightforward, easy breezy. And again, when you have like a super straightforward story like that, it allows you to spend most of your episode doing the fun, silly Christmas stuff, which is what they really leaned in on.
Yeah. And I wonder if they make this, if they do, if they are moving towards a connected universe, will we see Happy Hogan as this Purple Hulk again down the road in one of these episodes this season? I don't know, because they didn't really cure him of it. And it seemed like Happy was saying, hey, you could cure me, right, Tony? And he's like, oh, why would I want to go? You know, you're going to be a great defender, or the, whatever he said. So it doesn't sound like Tony necessarily wants to cure him. So we may see this down the road. And for those of you who are super nerds or aren't super nerds, rather, there are two Purple Hulk references in the comics. One was Norman Osborn, who used his powers taken from Super Adaptoid to steal Red Hulk's powers and transform into a Purple Hulk. They don't talk about why he's purple at all in the comics. And then Incredible Hulk number 371, Hulk is possessed by Shangar, the Sorcerer Supreme of the Dark Dimension, and he becomes Dark Hulk, which turns him purple. And it appeared in the animated series in 1996. So we've seen references to a Purple Hulk, and this one feels a little more like Abomination because he lost his hair and everything. So an interesting take, I think, that I really enjoyed. But yeah, I loved everything they did in here. It was a lot of fun to go from beginning to end with this episode. I rewatched it three times because I was just smiling through the whole thing. And I like the dialogue. It's really well written. The snappy back and forth with everybody makes sense. The motivations make sense and how those things change. The Avengers coming in, seeing a Hulk beating up the Hulkbuster armor. Of course, you're going to think that's a villain and you attack initially. But then when they make the change there, you see the difference. But overall, just a really nice episode here that had great diehard references and some fun stuff for Christmas for you all to enjoy. Mike and Shannon, any final words or anything I missed on this review here?
No, you know, I like that they gave us the Christmas episode on Christmas Eve. I'm curious as to what episode. I kind of assumed that this was the episode when we saw the trailers, that this is the episode we were going to get on Christmas because it's the Christmas episode. But yeah. I think they figured on Christmas, most people are going to be busy doing their Christmas stuff. So give us Christmas a day early. So I'm curious to what we're going to get. But again, I was wrapping presents and watching this, and it definitely got me in the holiday spirit. So once again, we're 3 for 3. Marvel giving me a really nice animated show to unwrap every morning.
Agreed. Shannon, your final thoughts on this?
Yeah, just again, this is new required viewing on Christmas Eve. I feel like this is the perfect thing to watch before you go to bed and wait for Santa to deliver your presents in the morning. Just so much fun. And I mean, I think we all really enjoyed What If season one. But the first three episodes thus far, I mean, they're just knocking them out of the park. Yeah. And the fact that they got Jeremy Renner to come back for like two lines, I thought was interesting. I'm like, there's no way that's Renner. He wouldn't show up for two lines of dialogue. Nope, there he is. In the credits, I don't know if you guys noticed this, and this was probably the background in their scene, but I was so focused on Hawkeye and Bruce. In the background of the store, the Iron Man dolls are sold out. There's a sign, and on the next shelf, it's all Hawkeye dolls, and it's got 15% off with a line through it. Then it says 40% off.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
That's brilliant.
Poor Jeremy, man, can't catch a break. Get run over by a snowplow and made fun of in What If. But yeah, Jeffrey Wright, John Favreau, Kat Dennings, Sam Rockwell, Colby Smulders, Jeremy Renner, Ruffalo all came back. But then we had Josh Keaton in here as Captain America, Lake Bell as Black Widow, Mick Wingard as Tony Stark, and Chris Hemsworth coming back as Thor right at the end for a couple of lines himself. So Great stuff overall. So, all right, well, that's our spoiler review here for episode 3 of season 2 of What If, What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas. We hope you enjoyed listening to us or watching us as we broke this one down. Shannon, what do we have to tell them? And if you want to throw in a Christmas wish, feel free. Mikey, same to you.
Yeah, if you'd like to follow us on social media, on Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media, on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you would like to follow Mr. Vogel, it is @MKToon. If you would like to follow Mr. Roca, it is @TheRocaSays. And whatever you celebrate, please have a wonderful holiday, a Merry Christmas, a fruitful Boxing Day. We are so, you know, thankful for all of you that tune in multiple times every week. So happy holidays.
This guy has a wife who makes him watch Graham Norton. Now he fucking knows what Boxing Day is. Michael, please.
Well, we hope you guys are enjoying What If as much as we are. And we hope that you are all having a wonderful day today, however you celebrate. And while you are celebrating, you can also smash that like button below. Subscribe to Johnny's Outlaw Nation page. Check out all the amazing gifts he has got and the content that he has for you. Leave your comments below. What are you thinking of What If this season? And, you know, let us know what you're doing for the holidays, too. Go ahead and give us some holiday wishes and we'll give you holiday wishes just right back. That's how we roll here at the Geek Buddies. And if you're listening to us on a podcast, you can gift us with some stars and some comments so we go up in the rankings. And as always, you can gift your friends this podcast by posting it on your socials, sending it to your friends, and telling them to hang out with your buddies, the Geek Buddies.
There you go. And you can always gift us by hitting that super thanks button as well, by sending in some love for us coming to you every day through this whole holiday season with a review of this What If series here at season 2 there. All right, well, thank you all so much for hanging out with us. Wishing you all a happy holiday as well, however you choose to spend today and tomorrow. And remember, we'll be back tomorrow as well with another spoiler review of the 4th episode here in season 2. What If Iron Man Crashed Into the Grand Master? So that's going to be interesting for sure. A lot of witty repartee between Goldblum and Downey Jr. or Mick Wingard for sure. All right, well, take care of yourselves. Be well, and we'll talk to you next time with another brand new episode here of the Geek Bites. Is that right? Is that what we're doing? Yeah, the Geek Bites. All right.
You did it. You did it.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.